boxes. Now, these are not make you a better Christian. They don't do that necessarily. But they are areas that over centuries, really, people have used in order to get closer to God and allow God to get closer to us, allow him to do things in our lives, to make us more like Jesus. And we've worked through a few of them, and today we're going to be looking at solitude. And Kathy and Chris are going to share with us about that.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Morning.
That might be a blessing and a curse. Okay. So we're going to change the tempo quite a bit. Now, am I too loud? They sound deafening to me.
Yeah.
Sue, could we have the first slide, please? We've only got two. So this piece of scripture from Mark, verse 6:31. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So we're going to slow it down now and soak in that piece of scripture. And I'd like us to start with prayer. We'd like us to start with prayer. This must look really funny. I'm nearly a foot shorter than that. So let's pray right now, Lord. Lord, we ask you to open our ears that we can hear you as we settle in your presence this morning. Let's slow right down. Be aware of our bodies as we sit. Get comfortable. If you need to move, just move. We bring our whole selves into your presence. Let's just take three breaths in and out. Help us, Lord, to put down other important things on our minds in this moment and just be here. Just abide, dwell in you. In Jesus' name. So Kathy and I are going to offer some of our thoughts and experiences of solitude. We've only got 20 minutes and we'll finish with Be Still and Know That I Am God as a practice. Solitude is one of the practices that, as Tim was saying, that are on the trellis behind us, that help us to grow. We might not be saying anything you've not heard before. We're not setting ourselves up as experts. We're not saying you should do anything at all. It's something that Kathy and I do intentionally. And it brings us great peace. Thomas Keating said of solitude or silence or contemplation or being still with God, there's a lot of names for it, I think. He said, all that's needed is consent, not effort. We consent to the time. We offer the Lord the time. However short that is, however long it is not important. We consent to being present with God. Richard Rohr talks about the many ways of becoming stillness with God as a means to get us there. So there are lots of different ways that some of us will find helpful, some of us will not find helpful. It's a personal process. It's important that we don't get hung up really on goal setting and doing it in a particular way.
Yeah, I think in that we've kind of come to solitude, haven't we, in different sort of ways and different practices. And I think for me, I found going back 30 years when I first started to pray, I found increasingly I was kind of getting drawn into silence, into quiet, and that very quickly my prayers were just kind of like losing their words. And like if I was praying for other people, it was like, so I couldn't find the words, and that I just needed to sort of take those people into the silence. So I kind of, it just kind of was something that just happened kind of, I suppose, naturally for me. And then I had this idea of, yeah, going on a retreat. And so a friend of mine was talking about this retreat centre in North Wales called St Bino's. I don't know if anybody here knows St Bino's. So I thought, yeah, perhaps I'll go and intentionally spend some time in retreat. And unbeknown to me, there are dozens of retreat centres around the UK. Something that I kind of wasn't aware of. It's sort of like a, yeah. So anyway, so I found myself, I booked myself in to go to St Bino's, which is a Catholic retreat centre. And that sort of felt a bit daunting to me. I was like, oh, I'm not from a Catholic background. What will it be like when I get there? And for me, the sort of going on retreat, it's not, there's very much like a movement of going there, and that it's not kind of like an end in itself. There's very much, as I was travelling there, I sort of travelled, I drove up through Wales, through Bwlch Wells and Llandrindod, and that to me was part of the process of going into solitude, that movement. And to me, solitude is very much about having a rhythm between serving and between, yeah, retreating into solitude in the way that Jesus did. If you look, yeah, in his life, he withdrew and encouraged others to withdraw and come back out of the silence. And when I got there to this retreat centre, it was just, it wasn't a question of being alone. There was no sense of being, it was a quiet retreat I went on, so nobody was kind of speaking, but I wasn't alone. I was very much with God and very much with other people as well. And there was a real sense of community in solitude. So it's not necessarily, although sort of, I suppose solitude can be a place where you are alone, it can also be a very community, have a sense of community to it. And another thing that I find useful to think about is the idea of myself as a sponge. And that when I'm not relating to God, I become like a dry sponge, pretty kind of like useless, really. And that when I pray and when I relate to God, it's as though, like, as a sponge, I become saturated in water. I am in him and he is in me. And I suppose for me, like, practice of going on retreat is a bit like sticking the sponge in a bucket of water. It's your experiences are maybe
different. My experiences were a bit different. I heard a talk at one point, 30-odd years ago, interestingly. Yeah. I heard a talk about contemplation, and it resonated with me somewhere in my heart deeply. And I thought, ooh, I want to learn how to do this. So I set off and I bought all these books, and I practiced all these breathing techniques. And I tried really hard, and I couldn't do it. And I
kept thinking, oh, this is not for me,
and yet I really want to do it, and I felt drawn to do it. And I realised that I was trying really hard. I wasn't being present because I was worried that my breathing wasn't right, or my toes. I was supposed to be completely chilling out, you know. A spiritual director I had at the time said to me, Chris, pray as you can, not as you can't. And that was one of the best pieces of advice that I could have had, really, because I just thought, oh, okay, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to be present with God. I'm trying to bring myself into God. I am in God's presence all the time, but I'm trying to consciously and intentionally do that. I was really busy at the time, so that was quite difficult, finding time with two young kids and being a single parent and working. So I did all kinds of little things. One of the things I did was I imagined Jesus was on the passenger seat in my car when I was driving. It slowed me down. I managed to adhere to the speed limit much more effectively. But what I was trying to do was break down my own resistance and my own idea that you have to do it a particular way or else it's not going to work and it's not good enough. I was getting in my way, my own way. I recognised that. So it didn't come that naturally to me initially. And yet, once I'd stopped really trying hard, it did and it does. We were talking, weren't we, about it's a really organic, gentle process. We realised before we met, didn't we? We were going to do this thing, and we're seriously questioning the reason I said yes. Must have been mad. And we were talking about that, weren't we? And
yeah.
We sat down, and when we sat down and met together, we both had sheafs of paper that we'd made notes on to get it right. Lots of references and quotes that we could give. And what we noticed we were doing was that thing where you're not actually being present. You're just working really hard at something that you're going to do in 20 minutes. I mean, we could both have gone really academic with that, couldn't we? And we also learned, though, didn't we, that we both read a lot of the same people. We'd been to similar things. It was really great. I really enjoyed that. Actually finding out how we both had gone on the same journey with similar people. So what we did then was we thought, didn't we, well, we need to take some silence and actually sit and just put it all down. So we did, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that process of sitting in the silence is very special to me. It's just... I find it hard to put into words.
We were waiting. We sat in silence, didn't we? And then we had consented with God and agreed with God that we would then share what emerged in the silence. And we did. And what emerged was we need to actually model being like that. We need to be in contact with each other. Yeah. We need to not get overly academic. We need to invite people maybe if there was time, I'm not sure there will be, but if there was time to even just ask a question or say something about what gets in the way for you of being present with God like that. And sometimes we've got all sorts of mythical ideas and stories about how it should be or what gets in the way. And sometimes there's some shame involved, I think, in not doing it right, not getting there.
Yeah.
Or the idea of what it is that it's going to be difficult or some sort of punitive process, which God isn't.
I think also sort of solitude and sort of contemplative practices of, I suppose, over the last few hundred years or so have been really de-emphasized in the church since the Reformation, where there's much more of an emphasis on the written word, and they've kind of remained, but they've been really de-emphasized. And I think there's been more recently a return to looking at those practices and realizing they're as much of as part of the Christian way as prayer and scripture. And yeah,
and we'll be thinking about, you know, why is it a good idea then anyway to practice solitude or to be still with God? And on a physiological level, it interrupts cyclical thinking, it refocuses us on God, it slows our autonomic nervous system down. It brings us peace. Ultimately, it might be a challenge at the beginning, but it brings us peace, because it slows down our thinking, particularly if we're over busy, because we are busy, or because we do a lot of thinking. It helps us to hear God, because we can be so busy doing God's work or whatever it is that we're doing that we're not actually hearing God.
And I think ultimately the reason why we should be doing it is because Jesus did it and it was an important practice to him. So I think it's good to reflect on what your solitude practice might be, what Lyndon's solitude practice might be as a community. There's what some, just one quote that I really like. I can find it. This is a quote from Thomas Merton, who is a Catholic Trappist monk who's kind of, I suppose from about the 1960s, 1970s, was kind of really responsible for really bringing back the sort of contemplative tradition and I suppose bringing it back to lay people as well. And this is a quote from him. "We are exiles in the far end of solitude, living as listeners with hearts attending to the skies we cannot understand, waiting upon the first far drums of Christ the Conqueror, planted like sentinels upon the world's frontier." I love those words. I love that sense of what solitude is and its role. Okay.
So this is, I'm aware of the time. This is a snippet just to invite you to think about it. We'll be doing more on it on the Practice in the Way course, and there could always be more things. I'm careful, I'm not saying I will. There could be more things on this at other times. So we're going to do just now, if you want to make sure you're comfortable in your seats again. I'm just going to spend a few minutes, and Kathy's going to lead us. So I'd invite you, can we have the second slide soon, please? Thank you. So that is not something that we particularly want you to look at or saying you should look at or anything like that. We invite you to close your eyes. If you're not comfortable with doing that, that is something to look at. It's just a tranquil something. We're just going to take a few minutes to do "Be Still and Know That I Am God."
Yeah, so just some words from Psalm 46. "Be still and know that I am God." be still and know that I am. Be still and know be still. Be. Amen.
We're going to need to draw that to a close because of time constraints. I'm not complaining about the time either. I'm just saying, just stating that that is the time. We've got about a minute left. Would anybody like to share anything about that or comment in any way? Oh, thank you. Okay, so we'll hand back to Tim.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. It's really important to bring this aspect of spirituality, if you like, that I think, as I was saying, was, in the past has been probably ignored for various reasons, who knows why. But certainly certainly for me, has become something that heard a lot more about over recent years. And this is a good time if you've not had any experience of it, just to try. I think, as Chris and Kathy explained, that people come to it in different ways. There are different ways of doing it, if you like. And as keeps being emphasized in the Practicing the Way course, start where you are and start with what you can do. Don't think, I've got to go and do this for an hour or a weekend. I've never done it before. That's probably not the best way to start.